Blog Talk Radio.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Acres, Beverly Hillbilly, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.
Hello and welcome to Provocative Thoughts, intimately known as PT, striving to awaken those who are asleep, stimulate those who are awakened, feed those who are starving, and nurture those who seek to know. I am your host, Carlton Steed, a self-proclaimed student of life, in the search, discovery, and revelation of life on life terms. First, I'd like to thank We Talk Productions for allowing me to host this show. I'd also like to thank their creator for allowing me to be. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can contact the show by dialing 516-531-9540. Please press the number one to speak. You can reach us on the internet at www.blogtalkradio.com. Go to search, type in We Talk Productions, and listen to the show live. You can also contact us on Facebook at Provocative Thought PT Community Organization. Tonight's topic, Feminism and Black People, Part 2. Does feminism have its origin in racism? Should black women distance themselves from the feminist movement? Has the relationship between black and white feminists improved? So the question, this has the relationship between white feminists and black feminists improved since 1913? From last week, we had discussed racism, that the racism intensified amongst the suffragists, right? The people who were protesting, the feminists, right? Protesters, right? As they neared their goals, right? This is spearheaded by white women in America, right? African-American luminaries like the noted anti-lynching crusader Ida B. Wells and civil rights leader Mary Church Terrell became more deeply and publicly enraged. Terrell, who marched in a colored delegation as requested, right? The segregation, right? Believed at the time that white suffragists would exclude black women from the 19th Amendment, nicknamed the Anthony Amendment, if they thought they could get away with it. So she was already looking at them sideways, right? These episodes fueled within the African-American community a lasting suspicion of white suffragists and of the very idea of a political cooperation across racial lines. I guess they had not matured yet. In 1913, when organizers of a huge suffragist parade in Washington demanded that black participants march in an all-black assembly at the back of the parade instead of with their state delegations. So, surely the ideology and attitude of white feminists must have matured and changed since 13, right? After all, I'm going to use a phrase that a lot of people like to say. We had a black president. From Forbes, critics argue that white feminism on its best day is also highly problematic because it allows white women to adopt anti-racist perspectives and to denounce white male supremacy, which was great. But while doing so, they further distance themselves from the power that they benefit from by placing full culpability unto white men. Meanwhile, knowing or unknowingly, black women to mobilize their agenda, which in many cases historically has not been aimed to benefit and highlight the voice of black women. Chakrona.net said, how white feminists oppress black women when feminism functions as white supremacy, January 16th, 2019. So this individual spoke about how she participated in a panel discussion at a psychological conference in Washington, D.C. The name of the panel was Being a Mentor in the Era of Me Too, which seemed extremely timely given the spate of powerful people recently felt by relations of sexual wrongdoing. You know, the white dude, I'm just talking about him. One dude killed himself. They say he killed himself in a prison. I don't know how he did it. And another guy, I guess he's still walking on Weinstein, I think, other guy, right? So she said, I wanted to make sure to mention some of the issues around this movement that singularly impacted on people of color, she said. The Me Too movement included a responsibility or privileged woman to stop victimizing men of color, right? Many of whom have been lynched, beaten, incarcerated, and electrocuted on the false whisper of a white woman. So this individual was concerned that the movement, you know, be concerned about these issues, especially white women lying on black men and getting them killed or incarcerated. She said she had Hart recently supported a member of our research team who ended up in such a predicament. And so this point felt particularly real for her. As shared, she said her observations and convictions. She said she was, as she shared her observations and convictions about this particular issue, she was cut off by the moderator, a senior academic white feminist. The mic was taken from her, and she's a woman of color, and handed to a white woman who had her own personal story of oppression to share. What's that say to you? I was silent, my uncomfortable words forgotten, and I became irrelevant. At the podium, the monitor affirmed her lifelong commitment to feminist ideas while I was shamed into submission. This is white feminism. So she's basically saying it. White feminism is not for black women's issues. Understanding the white feminism, it is a racist ideology that claims for all women while ignoring the needs of women of color and suppressing our voices. True feminism forms society, but too often what is advanced is feminism is actually white supremacy in disguise, a counterfeit we sometimes call white feminism. White feminists exist to promote the comfort and safety of middle class and affluent white women. At its core, it is a racist ideology that claims to speak for all women while ignoring the needs of women of color and suppressing our voices when our agendas and the priorities don't align. Oh, what's she saying? Get that mic. Get the mic. Oh. Cut. All right. It recognizes the voice of women of color only to further its own aims and appear inclusive. Like, hey, this is all women. We all had this problem. We all in this together. Its organizational representation failed to properly address racial and economic intersectionality, right? And that's intersectionality. You got this women problem, and then some of those women just happen to be black. So that's a double-edged sword right there in this country, because especially during this time, people were overtly racist toward black people, right? So you look at film, they kicking them in the butt, water hosing them, beating them in the head, women, sticking dogs on them, all kinds of things, right? Telling them to go to the back of the bus, all kinds of nonsense. Anyway, it rejects the idea that women can oppress others who are disempowered, and in doing so, replicates the harmful, unacknowledged social dynamic of the primacy of well-educated white voices, right? As a researcher and educator, which she is, right, she has seen white feminism at work in nearly every facet of her career, she said. Her current research areas include mental health disparities, racism, discrimination, trauma, obsessive compulsive disorder, and the emerging field of psychedelic medicine. In the psychedelic world, she is repeatedly expected to give talks nationwide at her own expense. And even though she has conducted multiple research studies, written books, and published dozens of articles in top journals, she says she finds it interesting that she has virtually no white women faculty collaborators, white women friends, a few, supporters, many. Junior college colleagues, several, but collaborators, none. She said those same women who applaud the advances of women in academia will not collaborate, share mutual resources, or celebrate the achievements of a black woman. Further, she found that white female graduate students and clinical trainees chafe against having to answer to a black woman, and female administrators frequently ignore or undermine her needs. She said when she was invited to a white female college to a women's march, She made an excuse not to go. She didn't want to be a token for the group that doesn't seem invested in women like me, meaning a black woman, right? She said she's spoken to many other women of color who felt the same way. She said she compiled some examples of white feminism and how it misses the needs of black women and other disempowered women. Black women are dying at childbirth. Maternal mortality for black women is 4 times the rate of white women, and these rates remain high even for middle and upper class black women. Now, how does race impact on mortality rates? If for no matter what class you're in, that's interesting right there. She said it's safer for black women to have a baby in sub-Sahara Africa than in a modern hospital in Arkansas. Rates have been climbing for all women since 2000. She said it fails to fight for paid maternity leave since perhaps white women can afford to stay at home with their babies without a paycheck. We lag far behind most developed nations when it comes to maternity leave, she said. The Trump administration was interested in making modest gains in this area. Appropriated Me Too while failing to acknowledge how white women have historically and currently, right, in the past, and still use their sexuality, their white sexuality, to oppress men of color. New York City women's advocate Tarana Buke first used the phrase Me Too in 2006. Her goal was to empower victims of sexual violence and harassment. Me Too is a social movement and awareness campaign against sexual abuse, sexual harassment, and rape culture in which people publicize their experience of sexual abuse and sexual harassment. Wikipedia from Britannica. The Me Too movement, awareness movement around the issue of sexual harassment and sexual abuse of women in the workplace that grew to prominence in 2017 in response to news reports of sexual abuse by American film producer Harvey Weinstein. That's the guy I was talking about, right? So, It appropriates Me Too while failing to acknowledge how white women have historically and currently used their sexuality to oppress men of color. Many black men sit in prison on false rape charges or face great social loss due to such accusations. You know, you got a job, you get locked up, period. You out of a job. That was a good job. You really taking a fall. So it's all a fall. If you don't have a good job, now you can't get a good job because you're in jail. Now you got to try to get a job coming out of prison for something you ain't do. So the tragic case of Emmett Till and the Tulsa, Oklahoma race massacre are catastrophic examples of this, she said. I don't know if y'all know, but Emmett Till, the 14-year-old African-American boy, was lynched and tortured, right? I mean, you can read that story. For supposedly propositioning a white woman in the store. I heard they say he whistled or something. Carolyn Bryant recanted her testimony decades later. She was old. I think she's about a near death. Maybe not that close, but she was old. The prosperous black community, called Black Wall Street, right, of Greenwood, Oklahoma, was burnt down, firebombed, and folks was killed, right, because they just had a war. They just waged war in that community after a white woman claimed a black man frightened her on the elevator. So I think that was a kind of an accusation of he was trying to, you know, get with the white woman, you know. I don't know where that happened, though. Bumped into her or something, I don't know. It thinks that it's okay to paternalistic control over black women and girls' sexual choices. So paternalistic control over black women's sexual choices. What's that all about? Because that sounds like eugenics to me. Pregnancy and sexuality are socially constructed as problematic and managed, controlled, and regulated depending on social status. Black women and girls are disproportionately given birth control, injections, implants, and the intrauterine device, IUD, over options they can control themselves. So they're not given the information. They're being herded into certain forms of sterilization, right? I remember very close, IUD, you got to go to the doctor to get that taken out. And injections, I guess you got to wait to the time, you know, to do, you know, an implant. You got to go help get some help with that kind of stuff. Anyway, she said she remembered after the birth of her oldest daughter, the nurse in the hospital while she was half asleep and recovering in labor, insisted she take progestin, a contraceptive. She start taking progestin contraceptives and then stormed out. She didn't give in. Not only did she ignore her concerns, but this conversation could have happened while she was awake and, you know, conscious, right? Where she could have a careful discussion about my needs and choices. So it's almost like she waited to get her to, you know, when she was compromised to agree to something that was as serious as sterilization, birth control. So back to the being Emmett Till and Green Street, Black Wall Street. Being murdered is hardly synonymous with oppression, and it is the ultimate force of violence. There is no recovery, no moving on, and no rebuilding. So you ain't oppressed. You don't even exist. Accused and convicted of rape or any crime by white women shines light on the racism of the criminal justice and judicial system, not to mention the individual. So, but old habits die hard, particularly when there are no consequences to reflect the seriousness of such heinous crimes. I've seen white women on the internet videos utilizing the power of their white privilege in framing or falsely accusing black men doing calls to police. It's amazing that people had the audacity to do stuff like that. And they were being filmed. It's like they didn't even care that they were being filmed. They would seem certain that they could get this guy thrown in jail just, I guess, on the fact that, you know, on the strength that they're white and he's black. Controlling black or undesirable population has long been the agenda of eugenicists or white supremacy. Tarana Buick, the American activist from New York City who started the Me Too movement and first used the phrase Me Too in 2006, is a black woman. Has the Me Too movement been hijacked by white women, white racist women, turning their heads to the plight of black women? Is that what white elitists, racists? What's going on? From the Hill. Tarana Buick is a black female activist from Harlem, right? The Me Too movement began in 2006, 10 years ago, from this article. After Buick bonded with a girl at a youth camp who she revealed that she was raped by her mom's boyfriend, I guess. So Buick took steps to help the community take action to protect children since there were no rape crisis centers nor any aid for sexual assault victims in the community. Buick was clear about the goal and purpose of the Me Too movement, to aid underprivileged women of color affected by sexual abuse. Her movement has been hijacked in a cruel bait and switch game popularized in October 2017 after the assault accusations against Hollywood producer Harvey Weinstein. The Me Too movement is advertised as representing the interests of all women, but when the benefits arrive, it is the elite who are highlighted. Just a snapshot of the racial and class profiles of women who have come to the fore for the Me Too, and you see those who occupy the upper echelons of business, the media, and higher education, so the so-called elite. The needs of these women living in trailer parks, trapped in crime-ridden and drug-infested neighborhoods, or languishing in foster care or prison systems will continue to be ignored by the Me Too, she said. These women reside in the not you isolated areas of this country, out of sight and out of mind. Newslaw.northwestern.edu says, Ms. Buick said, they are survivors too. She said, she claims that white women have not hijacked the Me Too movement. Said they're survivors too. She did call out and criticize the media for not highlighting women from marginalized groups and said the blame is on them, not the survivors. So she don't blame the white women for hijacking the movement. She blames the media for not covering the women who are elite. Sounds like at least one black woman feels the Me Too movement is experiencing the same thing the feminist movement experienced. The only difference is Me Too is actually founded by a black woman. Article went on to say, it regards black women's children as disposable. Black women's baby die at twice the rate of white women's, and these rates remain the same when controlling for income and education. Well, how can something be maintained? The rate of death for black children based on race has nothing to do with income. So that's almost like black people aren't getting the type of services they, no matter who you are, you black first, second, third, fourth, and last, and he's going to treat you accordingly. That's ridiculous. How much money do you need to have to be treated right and have a chance at life? Anyway. Reviewing infant mortality globally, babies born in countries like Panama fare better than babies born in the U.S. Additionally, black and indigenous children are taken from their mothers at higher rates than from white mothers. Black children continue to be targets throughout their lives until they are old enough to fill prisons, with Yale researchers documenting teachers racially profiling black children starting in preschool. It has no clue how punishing and patronizing health care can be for women of color. Research shows that doctors have biases against black patients. Research shows that doctors have biases against black patients and are less likely to engage in cooperative patient-centered care. Well, that's dangerous. This ain't the 1920s. Doctors speak faster, dominate conversations, end visits sooner, and display fewer positive cues and less warmth, translating to lower quality health care for people of color. Mm. But we do know that breast cancer and cervical cancer mortality is 40% higher in black women than in white women, and black people are routinely undertreated for pain, undertreated for anxiety, depression, and over-diagnosed with psychosis. What you talking about, Willis? It opposes regulation to make abortion safer since they'll never need to use a low-income clinic. This did not work out so well for women of color in Philadelphia. You guys probably know about Gosnell, right? He performed 4 to 5 illegal late-term abortions per week, while unqualified, even teenage staff provided anesthesia in filthy conditions. Despite dozens of complaints, injuries, and life-threatening emergencies, no hospitals made the required reports to state health agencies, and state health agencies refused to investigate the reports that they did receive until after two women died. In 1993, the Pennsylvania Department of Health decided to stop inspecting abortion clinics at all. They say, what up with that? What is going on here? Where's all the feminist outrage over such deplorable oversight and those women's tragic and preventable death? A grand jury concluded that no one acted sooner because women in question were poor and of color, because the victims were infants without identities, and because the subject was the political football of abortion. This is a particularly troubling example of how white feminists build its agenda atop our injured and dead bodies. She said she was offered sterilization by obstetrician, and not once, but three different times during three different deliveries. It ignores the problem of forced and coerced sterilization because disempowered black, brown, and indigenous women and inmates are targeted in this eugenicist manner. Not good white women, she says. Yeah, good white women. So that implies that there are some women, black white women out there that maybe not getting a good treatment. Or all women are, all white women are good, therefore they get the good treatment. I don't know which that is. I don't want to read into it, so I'm going to keep moving. While in the process of giving birth, she was offered sterilization, not once, but three different times, right? So she was, I was vomiting and having semi-conscious nightmares from the anesthetic while worried about a baby, and I didn't even remember if I agreed to sterilization, and I just said, This didn't happen in prison, and I was not a low-income single mother. I was a faculty member at Penn, giving birth at Bryn Mawr Hospital with my husband right beside me. But he was black first, and all of that you was born black, and you became a black, you're a black faculty member. You're, you're black. So, I mean, see, that thing about racism in this country, it's still black president or no. And I said this to a lot of people. Don't let that fool you. There's some places Obama go and somehow I'll knock him right in his head. It ignores the pressure inflicted by the criminal justice system. Consider the shocking fact that 60% of women in jail have not been convicted of a crime and are awaiting trial. 80% of women in jail are single mothers, and 2/3 are women of color. Hispanic women are incarcerated at nearly twice the rate of white women. Black women are incarcerated at 4 times the rate of white women. Health care is inadequate for incarcerated women. When white women are assaulted and call the police will almost always help them. For black women, this is not always true, and has not always been true for the writer. Indigenous women are disappearing and no one is looking for them. It doesn't care that indigenous women are disappearing and no one is looking for them. There is a really disturbing pattern of missing and murdered Native American women and girls throughout North America, and families can't get authorities to help find them. Apparently, these especially vulnerable women can be abused and murdered with no consequences at all. She said it. It's extremely fragile around the issue of race. Feminism weaponizes white women's tears in order to silence observations of racism. White women merely need to cry when called out on racism and hypocrisy to villainize people of color, thereby centering the conversation on the emotional well-being of white women rather than harms done. Further, it hides the white privilege behind female or LGBTQ oppression as experiences of sexism and homophobia became an excuse to avoid working on their personal racial biases. That's very interesting, that last one. Then it goes into why we need to talk about white feminism. So she had a hard time mustering up energy to fight issues like the infamous wage gap, when so many of her amazing sisters of color can't get decent medical care, our babies are dying at rates typical of developing countries. I thought the United States had some of the most advanced medical facilities on the planet. Well, so, but they keep trying to kill us, but it seems like we just keep coming. Anyway, white feminism, this is her summary, is so distasteful that many women of color want nothing to do with the feminist label, period. So I don't know if any women of color is listening to this show. I don't really know any black feminists myself that I know that's a black feminist anyway. But I'm just one person, and I don't really get around like that. Alice Walker's about to turn womanism to define her love of black womanhood and a commitment to improve the lives of all people oppressed due to race or class. White feminism is a part of our oppression, she said. When it comes to feminism in America, women of color simply don't have a seat at the table. And when we do, it's for illusion of inclusivity, right? Like she's it. Yeah, they're with us. We're with them, right? And not because our differing perspectives have value. So not because they value their particular special situation. So this is called tokenism, including someone from our demographic to keep up appearances when in fact we have no say or power. And when we are heard, our voices and stories are misused to further white feminist goals. In the case of the one lady, they took the mic away from her. They hustled, cut, 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 cut. Susie, get the mic. They cut her. She said, but it would be a mistake to assume that they are unaware of the black female issues. She said, I can only conclude that feminist groups don't care enough to do anything differently, making it difficult for me to believe that the women's movement has any good intention for black people whatsoever. Based on the agenda of National Women's Organization, it appears that white feminist leaders have sold out to the priorities of the medical industry, run by white male doctors, big pharma, and other corporate interests. More wealthy white men. White feminist leaders are, in fact, engaging in silent collusion with our oppressors, figuratively and literally. They are in bed together while women of color get the shaft. Women, racism is embedded in both literal and conservative procedures and ideology, in both liberal and conservative procedures and ideology. Liberal, the Democrat, conservative, Republican, right? My friend was just telling me it was both of them. I had a friend who was saying, yo, the Democrats and the Republicans, they on the same, they playing the same game. And it's even at the core of our vaunted woman's movement, he said. We cannot claim to be immune from racism simply because we are good progressive liberals. Racism is embedded in both liberal and conservative procedures and ideology, and is even at the core of the vaunted women's movement. This brand of feminism does not speak for me, she said. Let's call out racism wherever it lies. So this is a black woman that says, I'll pass. She's not with the feminist movement because it's racist. Doesn't represent her, stand for her, nor give them black women a chance to speak on behalf of these issues that concern black women, and that the white feminist is in collusion, the white oppressor. Now, we're not supposed to have oppressors, right? We're supposed to be, you know, all these amendments didn't pass, the 13th, 15th, 19th Amendment, civil rights and all this shit stuff. We still got people writing about oppression and stuff like that. something's wrong with this picture. And that's all I'm going to say about that right there. Something is going on. Something's not right. So from everydayfeminism.com, this individual, I don't know her name, she said, read on as I explore the three urgent conversations between black men and women that could significantly improve our relationships with each other. That we need to discuss the notion that black men don't get to have feelings. I didn't know that I didn't get to have feelings, but they say we don't get to have feelings. The idea that any man's ability or willingness to feel things is synonymous with him wanting to be treated like a female, as my homegirl put it, is such an infringement of the right of a man's ability to express himself authentically. So feelings are not inherently feminine traits, nor are thinking and doing inherently masculine traits. It is our right and our privilege as living beings to explore and express our feelings, and it is contrary to our evolution to encourage our men to negate theirs. For example, you're a man who has witnessed a woman being mistreated by another man. Maybe your mother being berated by your father. Can you recall how it made you feel? Did you want to speak up but didn't for fear of your own safety or maybe your mother's as well? Well, if you're talking about a child, you can't compare how a child acts in a man, because if you see something as a child, stuff that happened to you as a child, you get the older you get, the more, it's like a bully. You know, you get a little older, that same bully approach you, you're going to knock him in his head. You might be chasing him home. You know, so I don't know what the thinking is here, because you don't, something happened, everybody ain't scary like that. You know, so stuff happens in the hood all the time. You know, sometimes you got to flee and, you know, sometimes you stay, sometimes you don't. But this is happening in the house, and it's trying to say that you seen it happen to you. That's your dad and your mom having a conflict right there. So you probably a little kid, so it's really nothing you can do. Speak out for what? What are you gonna do? Stop. And I'm sure kids will say stop, and somebody grab the mommy, or hit the daddy on the leg. I'm sure stuff like that has happened, stuff like that. My older kids, I'm sure. There are some stories where the older kids have been in there rumbling against the dad, right? And maybe worse have happened, depending on what kind of situation that is. Berated by your father, stay out of it. So that's a verbal conversation, conflict they having. Leave it alone. Like, stay in a child's place. You shouldn't be talking. You shouldn't be saying anything about that. So you're going to have feelings. Nobody's going to talk to you about that. Maybe they will. I don't know. But you're going to grow up, and you're going to be able to, you're going to see what that was. You're going to understand what that was, right or wrong. It's not even an issue. You're going to understand the dynamics of what happens in between people, even though you experience it as the same thing as a child, because you probably do the same thing with your brother and sister, berate them. So these are adults doing it, so. You need to back up off that situation as a child anyway. You don't need to be in that. Anyway, it's trying to say that makes a guy not want to react when he get older. I disagree with that, because that might make a guy react even more when he get a little older. Depends on what kind of guy you talking about. So, because if he was helpless then, as soon as he get to the age or the situation where he can do something, there's a possibility that he will do something. Understand that. Many boys and young men in the world had that experience. In that experience, they were taught, rather through direct order or unstated understanding, that they were not allowed to do anything about how they felt. They could not speak to their fathers about what they saw, nor could they speak to their mothers about what she experienced. They're children. So suppose it was an infidelity situation. That's not, you don't put a kid in that. You don't do that. That's wrong. So kids don't belong in that. Say, oh, your mom was with another man. That's why he was arguing. No. You know, I'm going to keep reading this shit. I kind of get what she's saying about some of the stuff you explained. But that, for a kid, I don't know about that. Some kids don't need to know some things that go on with adults. And that's why when you do have conflict with your woman, probably need to have that between y'all, leave the kids out of it, and y'all work that out. So they move on and develop other ways to cope with unexpressed emotion. And those other ways are often reinforced by the pattern of emotional mismanagement with which the men around them have become quite reversed. So, all right, what about the women in the family? This conversation seems a little one-sided to me. So, just the man, not the female? Why is that only related to men? I don't get that. It's almost like she's holding males responsible for even the behavior of like the father, the male, but it's, she needs a female out of her situation. I mean, are these families these guys come from, they only have the mom and the dad and the male child? What about the female child? You know, she's not allowed to talk. So is she subjected to emotional mismanagement in which she becomes quite versed in? Because the male child can't say anything, the female child can't say anything either. Anyway, what can a black man do to have a different experience? Well, he can start having more conversations about with the boys in his community about their right to feel. He can talk more openly amongst his friends about how something made him feel. He can read to gain insight from other black men working to change their realities of emotionality oppressed black men. So I don't know about oppressing, because that guy is not oppressive. He's berating the mother or assaulting her. He's not up. His emotions aren't oppressed. And they might be a little exaggerated. I don't know what the situation is, but it might heighten. That doesn't sound like an oppressed parent interacting with the mother there. But anyway, I don't agree with all the shit that she's saying. It's that she must be talking about a particular type of person, because I'm getting older. I'm not letting you do nothing to my mom. If I'm a kid, I know I can't do nothing. I get a little older. I could do the thing to you. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, and I know it, you know, and you know, everybody knows it. You know, everybody knows it. Your kid gets a little older. And you beat up on his mom, arguing with his mom, and he jumps in it. You went for a real fight right there with that kid. So, and that kid witnessing that while he was young, just waiting until he get big and strong enough, and bam, knock you out. That's what happens. We'll knock you in the head with something. You know? I don't know, man. He might just break it up. I don't know. You know, I don't know. But, that's why I don't agree with the whole thing. You just watch something and it's a kid. That's a child. I don't compare a child to what even a older adolescent or a teenager might do, because it's different. So if a man, some provocative thought, a man's ability to feel is a man's ability to feel. There is no difference in the ability of a man to feel than it is for a woman to feel. Men and women experience the same emotions, pain, laughter, excitement, sadness, joy, anger. You know, when a man goes to work, goes to war, takes risks to provide and protect his family, men have been primarily responsible for fighting wars on the battlefield and in the community. Men have assumed the primary responsibility of protecting the woman and the child, village, community, and nation. It is a logical position to take, since men are naturally bigger and stronger than women. So that might be one of the reasons why men have that that
I got to be strong.
I got to be strong thing, right? Women carry, give birth to children, and breastfeed them. This creates a unique relationship between a woman and a child. Someone has to care for the child, and women are naturally, biologically made for the job. Maybe that's why they originally sit, you know, remain at home with the child or whatever, are more stationary than the man because they breastfeed and watching the kid, right? And if it's more than one kid, you can't hunt with these kids on you like that, right? But she is a protector because her job is to protect that kid when that man is gone. There is nothing wrong about a woman being skilled in the art of combat. It seems for this task, they have been historically spared this burden for the most part, right? I know they had a movie out about some black lady warriors and stuff like that. It was fighting the men against men. Men primarily fight wars, though, right? Do you want them to be crying? The whole platoon, the generals, captains, sergeants, corporals, lieutenants, privates marching into battle with tears in their eyes. What about police bursting into tears or bouts of uncontrollable sadness while breaking up a neighborhood brawl, bank robbery, kidnapping? What about if he stubs his toe or breaks his nail? That is what manning up means. That you don't let all this stuff affect you, right? It hurts. You acknowledge the pain and you try to, you know, get through it. You don't let the pain impair your function. It means being visual, conscious, alert, and strong mentally, emotionally, and physically. It doesn't mean that you can't or don't feel. It means that you do not allow feelings to overwhelm you. They say the difference between a hero and a coward is that both are afraid, but one chooses to fight and the other runs away. Fact is, that could be your white husband, Latino husband, or Asian husband kicking you behind. What you both need is an intervention. What both people need is an intervention, not the woman. You don't call somebody to save the woman. You're trying to save both people. And if you're not trying to do that, then you're just demonizing one of them. Right? Intervention is exclusively for a woman. Kind of sounds kind of sexist. There are boys who have intervened when their mothers are being assaulted. Family business remains in the family, you know what I'm saying? So as far as intervention, when a woman is being assaulted by a man, first, it is a life and death situation nowadays as far as a man, you know, who somebody just jumping in that, right? That's a life and death situation nowadays. It would be nice if we could intervene on behalf of female or a male being assaulted. And we do many times and survive it ourselves. Sometimes we are lucky and sometimes we suffer the undue consequences of our actions. Somebody just told me a story about a guy trying to stop a kid from carjacking a car and shot him in the chest. I don't know if he died or not. Sometimes we do not act to save ourselves. So like that guy, if he went in, that guy was trying to carjack that car, instead of going over there, he wouldn't be shot in the chest, right? He got shot in the chest because he went over there and tried to stop a carjacking, right? A 14-year-old black youth shot a man to death who was assaulting his mother in Chicago. Their lives are endangered as the man is a known gang member. It is a roll of the dice if you should intervene, if your intervention will be successful, or if you will become a victim or perpetrator resulting from your intervention. That's why some people do not intervene. Everybody is not watching their mother get beat up by their father and learn to be quiet from the experience. Some intervene at that point in the home and in the streets. The intervention is for both the female and the male. The so-called perpetrator and victim both need intervention. Because if you're not doing that, you just perpetuating that situation for the next time that's going to go on with whoever they're going to do that with. Who knows why a man is assaulting a woman? We may assume that she is the victim simply because she is female, but that may not always be the case. In some cases, the man needs to be saved from the relationship and the consequences of his actions. When the smoke clears, he will be able to find 100 different ways of dealing with his pain and or frustration. But they say guys don't feel. I don't get it. The task is to find that solution before you are moved to anger or violence. So not to not be violent, not to be even moved, right? Angrily. You know what I'm saying? I know that's a hard piece right there, but don't let things move you that way. You cannot like something without becoming enraged. Just got to work on it. It may be difficult, but it's not as difficult as going to jail doing time or losing your life. It's funny. There's always been a rule not to hit females, but until we stop hitting each other and giving people a reason to feel like hitting us, violence will continue to be a tool used in defense of our emotions. That is not blaming the victim. That is being smart, selective, supportive, and proactive. That goes for men and women. Don't provoke people. Just because you don't see tears doesn't mean that there is no pain or being hurt. All my life, I have been listening to black men express their feelings in the flesh and in the media. Who is this genius that thinks that black men don't feel? How delusional. Black people are dying because of feelings. What black males need is a social, psychological, spiritual, moral, and ethical way out of the black hole we have dug ourselves into. That would probably look different for many individuals and similar for some. I suggest that black women do the same. Emotionally oppressed black men, I'm not sure what emotion they are referring to men oppressing. We need to discuss what feminism aims to improve, she said. A feminist is anybody who believes in and supports equal opportunities for women. Feminists aim to improve the quality of life for women by paying attention to and calling for change within the system that put women and girls in danger or at a disadvantage. Feminists look at daily choices and daily challenges to try to find better options. So that means her husband's choice to cook dinner most nights is an act of feminism. It is so because he sees that we are both working hard and that I am not somehow designed to manage more tasks than he because I identify as a woman or because I choose to take on his surname when we got married. We may not do this with the specific intention of being feminist, but the way I feel, the way I see it, it is that anyone who makes lifestyle choices that take into account the specific needs of a woman is siding with feminist theory, whether they claim or not. All right, now if you just read about the feminists, I don't know which feminist she must be talking about, black feminists, because the other feminists, one lady says, is racist and elitist against the poor black woman, poor and black women, right? So, siding with a feminist theory implies that there is a theory that is against feminists and or women if you believe feminism represents all women. Not even all black women believe that the feminist movement represents all women, right? A woman who makes a decision for herself that takes in account her specific needs as a woman isn't siding with anyone but herself and her needs. It does not make her a feminist. It makes her accommodating her special needs. When making a decision that impacts on someone else, she is accommodating the special needs of that person or group of people. Harriet Tubman led many slaves to freedom or the North, where she had been abolished in all but about three or four states. I don't know how many it was, but it's, you know, Lincoln abolished slavery, but not in the northern states. So what do you call that, Harriet Tubman, that needed slaves to freedom? She's a woman. Stop giving names to things. You don't have to. A husband's choice to cook dinner most nights is not an act of feminism. It is simply a husband's choice based on the environment in his home. Maybe he likes to cook. Maybe he is the better cook. Maybe she isn't home in time to cook. And maybe she doesn't have time to cook. A husband's choice to cook is a husband's choice to cook. It's called teamwork. Cooking is not masculine or feminine, nor is teamwork. Remember, traditional roles are supported by traditional roles in and outside of the home. Like any role, they work best when both parties are in agreement. What can a black man do to better ally to his female partner? Woo! I really don't know the answer to that. But I'm going to try to talk about it. Challenge yourself to explore your own sexist behaviors. Are you willing to look at the less obvious but equally harmful forms of sexism? Are you deciding what your wife or girlfriend can and cannot wear because you're a man and you know how men think? That's a very, very, that right there is a show in itself right there. So if so, consider initiating moral conversations with the boys and young men in your community about sexist behavior. They're saying that's sexist because you are trying to tell your girlfriend what she can and cannot wear because you're a man. Well, I don't think it's because you're a man. It's because of what you're wearing and what that's going to attract when you go out in public. So I don't know. I never heard because I'm the man. They say, I think guys do say stuff like that because the man's supposed to be the head and stuff like that. So, you know, the thing in the Bible, Adam, Eve, Adam the head, Eve is a helpmate, and they're with him. Adam is the head, right? And especially going to the after the fall, tells, you know, talks about the woman's supposed to be submitting to the will of the man, right? And that doesn't, some people take that to mean some cruel stuff, but actually it doesn't mean that. Because a man not supposed to be cruel to his woman. Treat her like you treat yourself. They say one flesh, so he ain't going to do nothing to hurt her. So, theoretically, because we hurt each other all the time, right? We know that. So talk to your nephews, your sons, and your friends about how they approach girls and women. Tell them that bitches are fictional characters in songs and music and videos, so that they should not assume that the term is applicable to women in real life as a term of endearment or attraction. So it's neither, none of that. So the conversation is kind of one-sided because everybody knows women use the term bitches, refer to themselves as bitches nowadays. So I don't know how old this article is, but it seems to be kind of one-sided. From provocative, so I'm going to assume that the clothing issue refers to sexually exploitative dress, right? So challenge everyone to explore their sexist behavior, right? Male and female. It's not just about how men think, it's about how women think also. If you seek to resolve the issue of sexism, you need to address both sources, right? And as I said, like a guy, you going outside in some revealing stuff, somebody could die that night because some guy wants to say something. Now, making dude look like a nut, like weak. Now you got to say something to this dude. He's disrespecting you. Dude might even approach you based on the way you dress, disrespecting you and your man. So, you got to understand, you got to be, you know, you got to be aware of your environment and what you're doing and how it what it may attract and how uncomfortable you're making your mate feel. How would you like if your boyfriend just walked around with his shirt out all open to down to the crotch? He going out with you, the pants hanging down his crotch. How would you like that? I mean, come on now. Think about it. You got to think about what you doing when you dress. All that, I wear what I want to do, dress what I want to do. True. But we do what we want to do, but there are consequences for the things that we do. Whether you like it or not, whether you think it's right or wrong or not, you have to be mindful of where you are. And if you're not, then you set yourself up for some things. It doesn't matter if it's right or wrong, or if you have a right to do anything. So challenge everyone to explore their sexist behavior or their sexual exploitative behavior, right? That's what I say. As far as bitches, bitches are not fictional characters. Bitch is a term describing a female dog, a cowardly person, and a woman with a nasty attitude. And yes, a female sometimes is referred to as a bitch. Lately, women refer to each other as bitches. I'm thinking it is considered a term of endearment. I don't know. I heard chicks talk like that, and I thought that was crazy when I first heard that, because I'm like, whoa, I would never, ever. They call each other that, like, okay, this is, you know. So, but you got to understand it. That's not what you say. But, you know, like the word nigga, that thing and it turned into something else. You know, we got all kinds of people. It exists in the minds of people differently nowadays. You know what I'm saying? People saying they not even using it that way. And the way that, you know, they get you knocked in the head. You know what I'm saying? They're not using it that way. You know, so, you know, black people call each other ninjas. Excuse me. Mr. Jones don't like me saying cuss words. But you got to be conscious. Like, you just can't be talking about I do what I want to do. So, bitch also means to complain. Fact is, none of this is make-believe. So I wouldn't tell a kid that word don't exist when you can see it being used now. Nowadays, you hear women calling each other the B word, right? So talk to your sons and daughters, because they both use the term and expression. And it is a real word. That's why we're talking about it, right? We need to discuss the perception of feminism as a threat to black unity. They said, well, we just read about feminism, right? And it anything that's a threat to black people is a threat to black unity, because if black women are on board, right, in collusion with people who are degrading, demonizing black people, then that it all creates division amongst black folk. Because now we got some black women who's following white oppressive elitist women. That doesn't work in terms of black unity, right? The same system that targets oppressors and endangers black men offers the very same ills to black women, along with the consequences of misogyny, right? In America, the sentiment is that I should dress sexy or cover up, depending on my religious affiliation. I should always smile and try not to be a feminist, killjoy, or risk being viewed as one of those angry black women. I should be strong despite any and all obstacles and support the black man no matter what, because he needs me to help him fight this system. And I need him to protect me and our family from that same system. I thought that was very true. Everything she's saying there is true, except you have to be aware, like I'm saying, of where you are. Like, you know, I'd say in terms of your body, you need to give your body the same protection you give your money. You don't see people walking around the street with $500 in their hand. They ain't gonna walk out the house like that, and unless they strap. You see the rappers, the gangbanger rappers, they get out down there $1 million. They everybody in that bunch is strapped, and the people you can't see is strapped. So, you know, the point being, you gotta understand where you're at, what time it is. If you're not even living in it, acknowledging what time it is and some of the behaviors of people and the consequences of the behaviors, your behaviors, how you what you do impact on other people, you're going to walk down the street with $500 in your hand, and somebody's going to come take it. And in that transition, they might take your life.
you might go to jail. Stand your ground. Oh, you trying to take my 500? Wow, wow, wow. You know what I'm saying? So it's, we got to think. I hear people like, there's a lot of me talk going on and stuff like that. That doesn't work because you don't exist in a world with just you. Right? So I say, use your brain. America's the biggest whore on the planet. Dressing sexy facilitates arousal and attracts sexual attention. Sex sells. It's very profitable. If you don't believe me, Google it. Control the things you can control. You. You know that? Oh, a man telling you how to dress. For you men, if you don't like the way a female dress, then that ain't the female for you. Don't. That ain't the girl for you to go out with. All right? So stay out of that situation. If you think that's going to, you end up in jail or in a gunfight, which is very likely nowadays. You end up in a gunfight just on your way home, going to school nowadays. But that person not dressing in a way that you feel comfortable with, I'm going to suggest that you know, I know it's hard because it's very attractive and you know, but if you got to see her in another way. You don't need to be out with her if you feel like you might have killed somebody, somebody disrespect you, right? Looking too hard, you know, things like that, you know what I'm saying? If you can't control you, then you don't need to be with that chick because, you know, she's going to be wearing what she want to wear. And she's going to look good in it to you and to everybody else who sees it. So she's going to look sexy. So sexually appealing, she's going to arouse a lot of guys. And you can't kill anybody that getting a woody looking at your girl. It doesn't work that way. But women is dressing that way. You got to understand that people feel some kind of way. It's not insecurity. You understand it? Because if you don't understand what that is, then, like I said, you guys, you got somebody that don't understand that, that's the person you're not to be with, all right? So, because things have changed now with it. Women are taking off the clothes and, you know, things out in public. So you have to adjust. I said, okay, accept it. Keep on moving. I'll be strong when you're out in public. See, I know that's a hard thing to do because you got some guys out there who are extremely aggressive. I get it. And that's attracting it. It's like a piece of meat in the woods. Snake on the wolves. Now what you going to do? You going to fight these wolves off for this woman? You are both going to fight the wolves off. So what are you going to do? Or you know, because you can't throw in a piece of meat because that's a piece of meat you want, right? You want that. That's your treasure. So I don't know. That's the catch 22. But you got to make your mind up how you're going to deal with that thing, both of you. Anyway. People have a right to be angry, but that does not mean you have a right to insult others because you are angry. Use your brain. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you, right? So, you know, I hope that nobody wants to die and you don't kill nobody. I would hope that no matter what you see, that you would show respect for that woman who is sexually alluring. And I care how voluptuous her body is and what she's revealing. She's with a guy. Try to show some respect, you know, because you know you're crossing the line when you do certain things. You know it. Don't do that. You might be angry. You might be an angry black woman. And you might learn to deal with what bothers you in a way that will not raise your or someone else's cortisol levels, right? Chronic stress puts health at risk, right? So you want to, the attitude also, you know. Which is another thing that gets people killed. People's attitude and people's loyalty to reaction to people with attitudes, right? And we got this whole thing about violence and clashing in the community and we got a lot of stuff we need to work out. And we don't act like we got this stuff to work out. That's one thing about it. I don't know. Some of us do. Some of us don't. They just act like that's just the way it is. It's like that. That's the way it is. And who can get down first, that's who's getting down first. That's the way it's going. But we got to change that attitude and try to, you know, treat people the way you want to be treated. So you don't want nobody, you know, disrespecting you and your woman walking down the street, cheating on like a piece of meat. Try to get somebody that, get that woman that respect, even though you may not think she deserves it. Give it to her. All right? So no matter what you got going on in your mind, what that means to you, shut it down. Give that man some respect. All right? Let that man live. All right? Because you know he's going to defend that. From the Mayo Clinic, talk about cortisol levels and all the stress that we might bring into your own life or somebody else's life. Long-term activation of stress, the stress response system, right? That's the cortisol, right? And other stress hormones that follows can disrupt most of our body's process, right? This puts you at increased risk of many health problems, including anxiety, depression, digestive problems, headaches, muscle tension and pain, heart disease, heart attack, high blood pressure and stroke, sleep problems, weight gain, memory and concentration impairment. It says it's important to learn healthy ways to cope with your life stressors. And I'm just talking about a stressor, some stressors, right? Our attitudes and the way we dress, right? And the way we respond to people or our special people out in public, you know. And we got some guys out there who are extremely aggressive. Unfortunately, we have some guys out there who have no problem putting you down, even in defense of your woman, right? So let's keep the cortisol levels down. Maybe we live a little longer health-wise and incident-wise, homicide-wise. We reduce the number of homicides. Yes, standing in solidarity is a solidarity as a race doesn't need to be done at the cost of demonizing black males. You were a black female before you became a feminist. If you are a feminist, you can choose to be a feminist, but you have no choice of being a black female. Get your head in the game. As stated, we must become kings and queens. Enough with the mouth service. Where do my needs as part of the family fit into those expectations? Will my man's protection apply when I need to be protected from another black man or a black woman? So, I guess that means if her man is attacking her or a black woman is attacking her. Or, I don't know what that had to do with feminism or anything like that, but... You know, but they said, what other black woman who was blamed for putting her black man in the system by way of arrest? Well, did that man knocking you on your head, you know, cutting you up, shooting you and throwing you, pushing down steps and all that kind of stuff? That's a crime, babe. You know what I'm saying? And, you know, you may, even if you're doing that for, he's doing that because you caught you with another guy, so, you know, that's still a crime. Says no crime says if I catch my woman with another man, I can beat her nearly to death. That's still a crime. So he said, if you're worried about your man's behavior, don't let your behavior be the reason why he's acting that way. That's one. So number two is you. I heard a story about a guy got out of jail for a home invasion, went to this bar where his ex-girlfriend was, family's having a birthday party, and they told him to leave. He shot everybody up. Killed about three of the family members, her father, her, and her brother, I think. You know, so, you know, it's nothing wrong putting somebody in jail. They belong in jail. It's don't worry about that. It's the black men who are put in jail who shouldn't be in jail that we are concerned about. You know what I'm saying? This guy didn't do anything. Why are you locking him up? They just had an argument. Why is this man being incarcerated? You know what I'm saying? That guy. I'm a little confused when the author went from black man and black woman to just black man. Why would you need protection or be anticipating protection from black folks? You protect a black man and yourself with effective communication, being who you say you are, respecting the relationship. being a nurturer and knowing yourself and your man. Choose your mate wisely. You protect yourself from a black woman by respecting her too and everything above. Choose your friends wisely. And there is sometimes a need to defend yourself from unreasonable attacks. Do what you got to do. Take flight or fight, right? If a crime has been committed, call the police and your peoples. People assault the people they are in close proximity with. If you live in a predominantly white neighborhood, you are at greater risk of being assaulted by a white person simply because there are more white people in close proximity to you. Black on black crime is also a crime of proximity. What about black female college students that have feelings of imminent danger and deep vulnerability when she walks past a group of male students? She feels like she's a stake about to be ravaged. Whew. I thought this was interesting because it's college, number one. If black men and women want to be respected as queens, right? Oh, they say something about queens in here. Oh, it makes her feel less like a queen and more like a stake about to get ravaged. Well, if black women want to be respected as queens, exempt from catcalls, and some women eat up catcalls, may I suggest that you look like a queen. Look like a queen, talk like a queen, because if you look like a piece of meat, the wolves will seek you. If you look like a piece of dung, you will attract flies. If you are not one of them, don't look like one of them, and don't act like one of them. There are many reasons people are afraid of group of males standing, but if the fear is a fear of men coming after your flesh and integrity, could it be that you are compromising, exploiting your flesh and integrity, and thus co-compliant, right, in your own fear of being harassed? As for a king, if you are a black king, look and act like a king. When a queen sees you, she should recognize you as the protector you are. Fear is the last thing that should come to her mind. Maybe your attire or image is not in the image of a king and therefore merits her apprehension and fear. Maybe your behavior is unbecoming of a king and therefore deserves her apprehension and fear. It is not enough to say that we are kings or queens. We must define what a king or a queen looks like, behaves like, and become kings and queens. Until then, we will continue to be apprehensive, confused, fearful, distrustful, and divided. You must deal with life on life's terms, not by the delusion of life and human interaction. Enough of the one-sided delusion of men controlling themselves. We need to control ourselves by establishing cultural, social, moral, ethical protocols for behavior that when a queen walks past a group of black men on a campus, that group of black men acknowledge her as the queen that she is, and she acknowledges them as the kings that they are. You should be happy to see them, and they should be happy to see you, most honorable, esteemed one. We are free to choose to do whatever we please, but there are rewards and consequences for doing so. Sometimes I wonder if the idea of freedom has been corrupted or if we have corrupted the idea of freedom. Freedom without wisdom is foolishness. So she went on to talk about Umar Johnson, who said that the feminist movement came out of issues of oppression of white women who were facing, they were facing at the hands of white men. That's true, right? For black women and children who suffer abuse behind the silent walls of their own homes. She said, what about black women and children who suffer from abuse behind the silent walls of their own homes because their men are respected? Look, same thing. You got to do what you got to do. Either take fight, or get the hell out of there. You don't deserve to be tortured. Or I don't know if it's like, you know, dude is hurting you. You need to get out of there. Omar Johnson's view is true and documented. Any ism that seeks to oppress, degrade, diminish, divide, exploit black people is against black people. Omar went on to echo the sentiment on an Instagram, on her Instagram. Black men have never been in position to oppress black women except domestically as it relates to abuse and violence. So both black men and women living in America are walking in very varying hues of brown and black skin and wrestling with overt and covert racism, right? The question is, who was for black women when white people oppress them, disenfranchise them, and assault them? The answer is black people, men and women alike, Marcus Garvey, Malcolm X, the Black Panther Party, the NFAC, Grandmaster J, Martin Luther King, Mega Evers, Adam Clayton Powell, Angela Davis, Harriet Tubman, Louis Farrakhan, H-Rap Brown, Nat Turner, fathers, mothers, husbands, brothers, sisters. Who will speak for black men when people try to demonize black men? One man's transgression doesn't dictate what all black men are like. Who will speak for black people? Stand for black people? First and primarily black people. As we did in the past, so shall we do now. White men and women have historically been oppressing, lynching, and incarcerating, falsely accusing, murdering, torturing, and raping black men, women, and children. Who spoke for black men and women then? Black people. Who will speak? And there were some white people speaking back then too. Who will speak on those women's behalf when the man inflicting fear and harm into her life is a black like her? She can speak, and others can stand with her. Black men and women can stand with her. In the spirit of it takes a village, it is a problem black people need to address. One bad apple does not spoil a whole bunch. This scenario sounds like someone devalues black men and or people based on her experience with one black man. If she devalues black men, who is she going to get help from? A white man? Help comes from wherever it comes from. But don't demonize black people, black men, to validate getting help elsewhere or not from black men. So, in conclusion, as I said last week, take what you can use. Discard what you cannot use. Let no one's movement separate you from your people, your struggle, and your objective. Race is still an issue impacting on black lives and livelihoods. At some point, we must become one, you and me, me and you together, for the benefit of our people, men and women, young and old, rich and poor. I agree with this one young lady when she said that we need to unite together. And that, I want to thank everybody for calling in. See ya.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruption. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia. The revolution will not give your mouth sex appeal. The revolution will not get rid of the nub. The revolution will not make you look 5 pounds thinner because the revolution will not be televised, brother. There will be no pictures of you and Willie Mae pushing that shopping cart down the block on the dead run or trying to slide that color TV into a stolen ambulance. NBC will not be able to predict the winner at 8:32 on the court from 29 districts. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of pigs shooting down brothers on the instant replay. There will be no pictures of Whitney Young being run out of Harlem on the rail with a brand new process. There will be no slow motion or still life of Roy Wilkins strolling through Watts in a red, black, and green liberation jumpsuit that he has been saving for just the proper occasion. Green Green Acres, Beverly Hillbillies, and Hooterville Junction will no longer be so damn relevant, and women will not care if Dick finally got down with Jane on Search for Tomorrow, because black people will be in the street looking for a brighter day. The revolution will not be televised. There will be no highlights on the 11 o'clock news and no pictures of Harry R. Woman Liberationist and Jackie Onassis blowing her nose. The theme song will not be written by Jim Webb or Francis Scott Key, nor sung by Glenn Campbell, Tom Jones, Johnny Cash, Engelbert Humperdinck, or The Rare Earth. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be right back after a message about a white tornado, white lightning, or white people. You will not have to worry about a dove in your bedroom, the tiger in your tank, or the giant in your toilet bowl. The revolution will not go better with Coke. The revolution will not fight germs that may cause bad breath. The revolution will put you in the driver's seat. The revolution will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised, will not be televised. The revolution will be no rerun, brothers. The revolution will be live.